WCJLO 1690 AM. It's not 1690. I would not be welcome there.
For CJLO News, I'm Donald Roberge. The Imperial Cinema, one of Montreal's oldest movie theaters, may close its doors by the end of January. Media company Quebecor has been maintaining the Heritage Building for the last 6 years after stepping in to save the venue from bankruptcy. Yet a lack of financial support by the federal government may prevent Quebecor from its intentions to repurpose the venue into a performance hall. Without sufficient aid for its project, Quebecor says it will stop financing the activities of the Imperial Cinema as of January 31st. The theater continues to be managed by a non-profit group led by Serge Lazic, founder of the former Montreal World Film Festival, which incurred a sizable debt in 2017 that threatened to close it. The housing rights organization, Regroupement des Comités Logements et Associations de Tenants du Québec, has released its report on the number of forced evictions in the province. According to the 18-page document, forced evictions increased by 143% in Montreal compared to this time last year, while the number of complaints rose from 1,525 to over 3,500. The RCLALQ is urging the Legault government to adopt legislative changes that would make owners and landlords subject to authorization and monitoring from the Administrative Housing Tribunal. The organization is also asking for a moratorium on eviction and repossession of tenants where the vacancy rate is at 3%. Katie Brady has more.
Forced evictions of Quebec tenants have reached an all-time high. That's according to a new report launched this week by a network of tenants' rights groups. In Montreal, evictions are up 143% from last year. Cédric Dussault of the RECLAC said in a press conference Tuesday morning that rent evictions account for most of the evictions in the province. But he says renovations aren't a good enough reason to give tenants the boot.
C'est toujours possible. Le principal motif pour évincer des locataires, ça n'est pas d'apporter des travaux, c'est vraiment maximiser les profits qui vont être obtenus en augmentant les loyers de façon extrêmement importante.
Martin Messier, president of the Quebec Landlords Association, said landlords should be allowed to reset rents in between leases.
While the tenant is there, he is protected by law and we cannot increase the rent. And when the tenant leaves the premises, the landlord should be able to put the rent back to market. So that disposition of the law is not only obsolete, but it is a huge nuisance to the real estate market.
The report comes amid swirling debates on the CAQ's new housing bill, Bill 31. Housing advocates continue to call on the government to enact immediate rent control, a moratorium on rent evictions, and to give tenants greater recourse against landlords. Tenants have raised concerns, in particular with the articles of the bill which would ban lease transfers. But Messier said the Landlord Association doesn't back the bill either.
Are a major concern, and they are doing exactly the opposite of giving back the landlord the flexibility to increase when there is a new lease signed with a new tenant.
Bill 31 will continue to be debated when the legislature opens again in January. In Montreal for CJLO, I'm Katie Brady.
For more, visit CJLO 1690 AM podcasts on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Seduced our lot and primed us for salvation. Jehovah could not pardon all the sins that we call cardinal, involving bed and bottle.
No one to Aristotle.
Mankind is one,
All men are brothers.
As you have done to one to others.
It's understood in this best of all possible worlds.
Understood in this best of all possible worlds.
Objection! What about war?
War! Seem a bloody curse, it is a blessing in reverse. When cannon roar, both rich and poor by danger are united.
Till every wrong is righted.
Philosophers make evident the point that I have cited. 'Tis war made equal, as it were, the noble and the commoner. Thus war improves relations.
Now on to conjugations.
Amo amas, amat amamus.
Amo amas, amat amamus.
That this is the best of all possible worlds.
With love and kisses, the best of all possible worlds.
Volera demonstrandum.
Volera demonstrandum.
Volera demonstrandum.
Amat amamus.
Amat amamus. Volera demonstrandum.
Welcome to this week's episode of Cadenza Montreal on CGLO 1690. I'm Stephanie Manning, and you just heard The Best of All Possible Worlds from Leonard Bernstein's famous operetta Candide. I thought it would be fitting to start the show with this, as this is going to be sort of a recap of the best, my personal best classical songs of the year. And by that I mean not even necessarily things that came out this year, but things that I like personally played or listened to that I just really connected with this year. And this was one of them. This was earlier this year when I was still studying music in conservatory. My university put this show on, and I was playing in the pit orchestra for it. So it was really an amazing, amazing fun experience to be part of it and to put this great masterwork on. It's one of Leonard Bernstein's most well-known works, and actually the new film Maestro, which is out recently, starring Bradley Cooper as Leonard Bernstein, has music from Candide in it, namely, I believe, the overture and also Make Our Garden Grow, which I may play later. I was in the movie theater to see something different the other day and heard the strains of Candide coming out of another theater, and knew that it must have been Maestro playing in there. One day I will go see it. But that being said, yes, this is a lovely piece, and I thought that the best of all possible worlds is a great way to start. It's such a fun one, but there's another that from the first act that really always brings down the house. It's a very famous soprano solo, and it's just so much fun, over the top. Just like, if you haven't heard it before, you might be singing it in your head afterwards, and if you have heard it before, the same applies. This is Glitter and Be Gay from Leonard Bernstein's Candide.
Here I am. can they compensate for my fallen state? Purchased as they were at such a... such an awful cost. Bracelets, lavaliers, can they dry my tears? Can they blind my eyes to shame? Can the brightest brooch shield me from reproach? Can the purest diamond purify my name? And yet, of course, these trinkets are endearing. Ha-ha! I'm oh so glad my sapphire is a star. Ha-ha! I love like a 20-carat earring. Ha-ha! If I not pure, at least my jewels are. Enough, enough! I'll take the diamond necklace and show my noble stuff by being gay.
Production Nuit d'Afrique présente Searching for Goya, le nouveau spectacle de flamenco de Soledad Barrio et Noche Flamenca, une représentation exceptionnelle à Montréal. 9 danseurs, chanteurs et musiciens incarnent sur scène l'esprit de Goya. Une expérience électrisante pour un soir seulement au Théâtre Maisonneuve le 18 janvier. Réservez vos places dès maintenant sur placecésar.com.
Welcome back to Cadenza Montreal on CGLO 1690. Before the break, there was Glitter and Be Gay from Leonard Bernstein's operetta Candide. That's the original cast recording of the Scottish opera, the soprano there, Marilyn Hill Smith. Quite a beautiful performance, sort of more of a true to the music, and some performances you'll see that go all in onto this. The drama, the character, so you'll see all kinds of interpretations, but I think that is like the most faithful to like the notes themselves, though maybe the character is expressed more memorably by other famous soprano performances. It's all a matter of taste in the end, but yes, that's it's almost odd to hear that piece without just the roar of the audience applause at the end, because that would always bring the house down every time, and deservedly so, especially to hear young opera singers being able to do it in my university's production. It's very, very inspiring and lovely to hear them have the opportunity to sing these devilishly hard roles and pull them off. Turning now to something that I also had the opportunity to play this year, earlier this year. The Candide performance was in March, and this one was in May. It was one of my last, honestly, one of my last performances this year where I actually played in, played bassoon in. Shostakovich, there's Symphony 5 in D minor. This had always been a bucket list piece for me to play a Shostakovich symphony. They're very grand, like long works, you know, kind of very dark Russian. I'll have that, like, I'll have these deep, complicated backstories. But for this, I was playing contrabassoon, which usually involves sitting there a lot of the time, and it definitely does. But the second movement actually has a contrabassoon and bassoon solo in unison. Very fun little allegretto second movement with this beautiful waltz theme that I was just in love with. This is the London Symphony Orchestra's recording conducted by Gianandrea Noseda.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Cadenza Montreal. That was the second movement of Shostakovich's Symphony No. 5, the second movement, Allegretto. That was the London Symphony Orchestra there, being conducted by Gianandrea Noseda. Quite a lovely waltz in that contrabassoon thing I mentioned earlier can kind of fly a little under the radar if you don't know that you're listening for it, but it's one of those things. It's just thrilling to be able to play it on stage, surrounded by so many great musicians as I was. So the next one I had on my playlist was a piece that, turning to more solo music, there is a beautiful flute concertino by Cécile Chaminade, the concertino in D major. It's very, very well-known work in the flutist repertoire, at least. But I discovered that there was a bassoon transcription of this piece that I played on the recital. I'd worried a bit about being a bit divisive. What will a flutist think of hearing a bassoonist playing this piece? But I thought the transcription was really lovely and surprisingly sat well on bassoon. Unfortunately, there aren't really any CD quality recordings of the transcription out there, so I thought that I would play one of the originals. This is flutist Emmanuel Pahoud and the Chamber Orchestra of Paris, and this is Cécile Chaminade's Flute Concertino in D Major.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Cadenza Montreal on CGLO 1690. That was the beautiful flute concertino, Opus 107, by Cécile Chaminade. The flutist there, Emmanuel Pahoud, and the orchestra, the Chamber Orchestra of Paris. Such a lovely work, and it's really great to hear it in the orchestral version as well. I'm more familiar with the piano transcription, but the orchestra version brings such depth to it. I think the harp and all of the various instruments, English horn is in there a little bit too. And speaking of English horn, there was another piece that came to mind when I'm sort of thinking of this. Best of the year, my favorites of the year, what to sum up. In terms of performances I went to go see, I was very fortunate to be able to go see the Cleveland Orchestra many times when I lived in Ohio earlier this year, and I got to see them play Dvorak's Symphony No. 9 in E minor, more commonly known as the New World Symphony. The second movement, Largo, is just gorgeous, and it has this wonderful, wonderful English horn solo that I was thrilled to see perform. And I feel like this piece needs a little introduction, because when you hear the theme, even if you're not as familiar with classical, maybe somewhere in the back of your mind, you'll know this melody. So this is the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Marin Alsop.
Thank you. Au cinéma public, nous proposons une programmation en salle composée de films d'ici et de nouveautés internationales, de classiques et des pépites méconnues, ainsi que de courts-métrages et des séances familiales. Nos billets sont parmi les moins chers à Montréal, 10$ au tarif régulier et 8$ pour les étudiants, les enfants et les aînés. Nous offrons également des cinécartes de 6 billets pour encore plus d'économies. Venez nous voir à la Casa d'Italia, juste en face de la station Jean Talon. Et rendez-vous au cinémapublic.ca pour découvrir notre programmation. Le cinéma public pour un cinéma vivant.
Welcome back to Cadenza Montreal on CGLO 1690. Before the break was that absolutely beautiful recording of the second movement, Largo, from Antonin Dvorak's Symphony No. 9 in E minor. That's what I find most fascinating is that's a live recording, absolutely beautiful, by the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra and Marin Alsop. I wish I had the name of the English hornist on hand to also tell you, because that solo really carries the entire movement and is just absolutely, absolutely incredible. As this recap sort of comes to an end, I'd be remiss not to mention one of my favorite pieces that I played this year, and also one that I had never heard of before this year. When I toured with the Oberlin Conservatory Orchestra to Carnegie Hall, we brought this amazing oratorio called The Ordering of Moses by composer R. Nathaniel Dett, who was an Oberlin alum. So I just thought that I would play a small snippet for you now. This is number 9, and When Moses Smote the Water. This is the only recording on CD that exists of this piece. I hope to see more recordings in the future. But this is James Conlon, the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra, and the May Festival Chorus.
And when Moses smote the water, the children all passed over. When Moses smote the water, the sea gave way.
And when Moses smote the water, the children all passed over.
That was just a small snippet from R. Nathaniel Dett's oratorio, The Ordering of Moses. That recording there, the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra, conducted by James Conlon and joined by the May Festival Chorus. Wish I had time to play more of this piece, because it's really a great epic work and a really interesting perspective of retelling this story. R. Nathaniel Dett was a Black composer, one of the first graduates from Oberlin Conservatory in Ohio, which is why the university's orchestra brought this piece to a performance in Carnegie Hall in New York City earlier this year. Really, really a fantastic work. And unfortunately, that's about all the time that I have for today. I have time for just one more piece before I sign off. This has been a great look back on the year for me, sort of best of the year. Hope you enjoyed as well. I think this, for me personally, this year was one I will never forget in more ways than one. It's just been wonderful, and so much has happened, but I think classical music has in some form always stuck with me through it all. So I think I will sort of end as I began with a selection from Leonard Bernstein's Candide. This is the final piece, Make Our Garden Grow. It's very future looking towards the future, and I think from now on will always make me think of that performance, and has this kind of nostalgic feel and very happy emotions to it that I almost can't describe. But thank you for tuning in to Cadenza Montreal this year. I will be back in the new year. This is my last broadcast before the holiday season. But thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back in the new year with more interviews and, of course, more music. And to cap off our show, again, this is Leonard Bernstein's Candide and Make Our Garden Grow.
Chop our wood and make